Well, Christmas Day is come and gone. And one point is again clear. And that's this, and that's that gift giving becomes very stressful for people who are trying to get the perfect gift for that perfect person. It becomes very stressful for people. One of the reasons for this stress, especially during the holiday season, is the fear of what to get somebody as a gift. I think you'd agree with that. It's often said that men are harder to buy gifts for than women. I don't know where they got that from. From this perspective, it's not that easy. I know my kids are always, like a week before Christmas, "Dad, what do you want for Christmas?" And I usually, like this year, I said, "Well, you know, here's something you could do. You could, you know, I've got some fence posts out in the yard. You can dig those up, and that would be a great Christmas gift." No. Really, what do you want for Christmas? But the idea of giving somebody that perfect gift can actually overwhelm the giver. It really can. Because fear sets in, the possibility of rejection or an inadequacy it can be crippling for us. Trying to give a gift that's both memorable and lasting truly gets harder and harder as the years roll on, especially if you've been married for years and years. In our text for this Sunday after Christmas, Paul, well, he gives us a very helpful suggestion for giving a gift that's just sure to be lasting. Actually, Paul's words from the Lord are more than helpful, and they're more than a suggestion. The apostle tells us to give love as a gift. Now, contrary to giving, receiving gifts is relatively easy. You have to be gracious, or it should be, really. I mean, simply to receive the love, care, mercy, and compassion of people in the form of the gift is often less stressful and more enjoyable than giving, or at least it should be. The stress is gone, and the joy of receiving is paramount. Surprisingly, maybe, the ease of receiving tends to be the opposite of what we hear during the Christmas season. Because you've all heard it said, it's better to give than to receive. Now, I'm not sure that statement is accurate when we look at it from a theological perspective. Because one reason that people may believe that giving is better than receiving comes from the actual focus area of that statement. When we're saying that giving is better than receiving, a person is more focused at looking at themselves, himself or herself, as the centerpiece rather than on the one who is on the receiving end. The world would encourage this behavior and deny the importance of what receiving is all about. The gift of forgiveness and salvation is a free gift, and we receive that. It's a gift that comes with no strings attached whatsoever. This gift is the one gift that we receive from Jesus Christ without any merit, without any worthiness in us. The love of the Savior is an unmatched and tremendous blessing. Therefore, the idea that receiving is far more important than giving comes to us directly in the form of the Son of God on that cross as the sin bearer of the world. It's here that we receive rather than give. So when we put this in the proper context, our receiving of this gift is actually a continuation of the promises of the Old Testament, where the Lord declares that He will send us a Savior, His Son. Now, not only is it very enjoyable, and it's surely commanded, receiving forgiveness is the place where we actually build the foundational principles of our text today. We hear clearly in verse 12 of our text that we are God's chosen people. Chosen ones, called by him, set apart by him for the purpose of doing his will, as God's chosen ones, Paul says. We're God's people, and he's extended his hand to us, and he's marked us. The text continues, actually, telling us that we are beloved and holy people of God, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. The word holy here literally means set apart for God. We are the ones that have been set apart for God, holy and beloved. This isn't a small declaration for the faithful children of Christ. This is huge. This is the essence of who we are. We have been chosen. That's why we don't sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus." It's because we have been chosen by God, by Christ himself. We are his chosen ones. And as his chosen and set apart ones, we're not alone. We don't live for ourselves. We are his chosen. And we are called to share his love and his compassion. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, is what Paul tells us. These are the things. These are the things that we put on. A couple of years ago, I was in a program called Doxology. And once you're in it, especially as a pastor, you're kind of in it all the time. So I still get updates, and I get notices that there's things like one-day events that are happening. But one of the things they encouraged all of us pastors to do was to find a colleague, a fellow clergy member, it didn't even have to be the same denomination, to whom that we could confess and receive forgiveness. That's personal confession and absolution. Our brother, as our Roman Catholic brothers would call it, a father confessor, if you will. And I can tell you, and I did find one, a friend of mine who's no longer Lutheran, but is a Orthodox priest now, somebody I went to seminary with, that I can call on the phone anytime, day or night, and talk to and confess. And I have to tell you, there's been an amazing benefit to me and to my ministry that by confessing my sins and receiving forgiveness from a brother in the Lord is just amazing. Because, you know, I get to pronounce forgiveness to all of you, and I pronounce it as I'm pronouncing it to you. I'm also pronouncing it upon myself, but there's nothing like hearing God forgives my sins personally. And if anybody's ever gone to individual confession and absolution from a pastor, you know that to be true. There's nothing that, I mean, I actually got to receive the free and clear gift that's given to all of God's children out of his love and grace. This gift of forgiveness of sins for me personally. So the text for today now, of course, it reminds us that we should forgive one another in Christian love. That gift of forgiveness we receive is the gift of forgiveness that we give to others. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. For as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now, I have to tell you, in my case, this is kind of a universal thing, too often we're not willing to forgive those who've hurt us because it seems in some way to empower us when we withhold that forgiveness. It somehow gives us power over the other person, at least in our minds. the apostle actually encourages us to see and know that our ability to forgive comes from the reality that we are first forgiven by Christ in our own lives. That's the only way we're able to forgive others. Put another way, the only way you can forgive anybody else is because you have been forgiven first. And not only that, because we have been forgiven, we're supposed to forgive. It's like what I've said it several times about the love of Christ being poured into us, and it's like there's so much love poured into us, it can't help but pour back out of us. You know, if we fill up a cup with it, it's a pitcher that's poured into a Dixie cup. The size of a cup this size and the size of a pitcher this big, the amount of love, it can't help but pour out of us. And that's the same thing with forgiveness. Because how do we love? How do we put on this love? Through the forgiveness that we receive and the forgiveness that we give. It's a beautiful reality that we have, that we live as children of our Heavenly Father, that we can forgive because we've been forgiven. And then immediately after this encouragement about forgiving, we're told to put on love. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Love is what binds us together in the life of the Christian. And how do we put on love? Well, this question for the Christian is really a beautiful picture of God's love and mercy. God loves us so much that His Son stretches His arms on the cross. His feet are nailed to the cross for you and for me. How do we know God loves us? Christ died for me. That's how we know that God loves us. God's love shows us. And so how do we put on love? Because the forgiveness that He won on the cross for you and for me, that's the forgiveness we give to others. Putting on love is this forgiveness, and this compassion, this kindness, this humility, meekness, and patience. His love comes to us in the form of Christ on the cross. And we know this reality through the Word of God, as it reminds us in many places and in many different ways of the love in our lives, which is Christ Himself. You see, for all Christians, the love of Christ is poured out on the cross. It's poured out to us in holy baptism, where we are actually clothed, robed in love. Therefore, putting on love is a reality of our relationship to Christ as His chosen people. Like so many aspects of our relationship to Christ, what we have to do is not reject the ability that we have to love. Does that make sense? In other words, don't throw away the ability we have to love one another. And again, the text tells us that, reminds us strongly that the Word of God actually lives inside of us. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. See, we remain hopeful and joyful at this reality. It's through that very word that we are encouraged and strengthened to be able to meet the tasks before us with confidence and joy. As we put on love to share forgiveness and mercy, as we provide the gift of forgiveness to those who have hurt us and trespassed against us, we're actually able to take encouragement and nourishment from the Word of God, as it reminds us and empowers us in our lives in Christ. We give freely the gift of forgiveness as it's been freely given to you and me by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So with joy, receive what is yours as a gift: forgiveness, life, salvation, the love of Christ poured out into you. Receive it with joy and thankfulness, knowing that you are forgiven freely, without price, without worthiness on your part or my part. And then go out and spread that joy, that forgiveness freely as well. In His name, amen and amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, now and always. Amen and amen.